we're going to start in Psalm 42. And I wanted to share on the subject of yearning for God. In the manifestation, God said that he desires to have children, yearns for children. And we are part of that desire. But yearning for God, to yearn for something is to have an intense longing for something. A strong desire for something. God wants us to have strong desires for good things, but mankind has the option of desiring good things or bad things. Like Eve desired to have of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil, so he thought it would give her wisdom. A lot of scriptures in the Old Testament law were what we're not to have a desire for and what we are to have a desire for. And one of the greatest things God wants us to desire is him. He wants us to have a yearning, a strong, intense yearning for him. As we know, we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that's part of that yearning. We want to do it. We want to love him. We want to give him all that we have. And we'll see some of this, the heart of it, in a couple of these psalms we'll look at. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart, referring to a deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and before God? Appear before God. That thirsting for water, just like a deer thirst for water. This believer was thirsting for God Almighty. Psalm 38. Verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. And the word panteth means long for. My heart longs for thee. God would be the object of our desire. Let's go to Psalm 73. And in verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Or long, the word a desire referring to delighting in or taking pleasure in or wanting. And the word none is nothing. There's nothing that I desire beside thee. And God wants us to have that strong, strong desire for him. Let's go to Genesis chapter 43. So as a person, we do have longings for things. And if we go to the way of the world, our longings are going to be for things that aren't quite so good. If we go to the way of God, our longings are going to be for wonderful things and a great blessing to us. But we all have desire. When we're born, we have a natural desire to eat. Right? You don't have to teach a baby generally how to eat. They get hungry, they know they should start eating. It's an innate natural desire. And we desire to be loved and to love. And there's just so many things in life. But our primary yearning should be for God Almighty. Genesis chapter 43, verse 30. This is Joseph when he was in Egypt. When he was second in command of all of Egypt. And it says, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep,
and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And, you know, when we look at this, we think, all right, well, he got a little emotional, and he yearned for his brother, and he cried. Well, we read that, you know, as the deer panteth for water, so I panteth for thee. They seem like they're words, but there is a lot of emotion behind them, and a lot of believing and heart and love. And, you know, it's it's just something that is bigger than sometimes when we just read it on the page and say, oh, yeah, you yearn for God. Okay. I'll check it off my checkoff list. You know, it's a way of living where we yearn for Him. And I thought it would be wonderful to read this little record of Joseph, part of it, to see the background of why he would yearn for his brother and to a point where he cried. And, you know, it's an illustration. I know it's an illustration of one person yearning and loving another individual or other individuals. But as an explanation or illustration of our yearning for God, how strong it can be. If it's that strong for another human being, how much stronger it could be for our yearning for God Almighty. And I don't know why some people yearn for God stronger than others, but it is the way it is. And I'm thankful that we have a strong urge to yearn for our God day by day and a longing for. So we're going to start in chapter 43. We're just going to read a few of these chapters. I promise we'll be done by 2 o'clock. So, chapter 42, verse 1. It says, and when, now the scenario, I'm sure you've all read this record many a time, but Joseph was the youngest, at the time, the youngest of 11 brothers of Jacob. And later he had, Jacob had one more son, Benjamin. And one night Joseph had a dream, and God showed him by this dream that his brothers would do obeisance to him. They would bow down before him, and he showed him that he would be ruling over his brothers. And he had a coat of arms, and you know there was a lot of Orientalism to that. But when he told his brothers that, they got a little angry, because that culture is the firstborn, it's got the birthright, and you know it goes right down to pecking order. And this is the kid brother, and he's saying, you guys are going to bow to me. It was very offensive to them. And so rather than just hiding it in her heart and saying, okay, maybe this is all going to work out, they got, and they allowed an evil heart in their life to say, we're going to just get rid of this guy. We'll kill him. So they were out in the fields, and Joseph was with them, and they contrived, okay, we'll dig a big pit, we'll stick him in there, and we'll let some wild animal eat him up, and we'll tell our dad that some animal ate him. But as he's in there, the band of foreigners were heading to Egypt, and they said, hey, why let him die? Why can't we make some money off him? So they sold him into slavery. He goes down to Egypt. He's a slave. He works for Potiphar for a few years, and then he gets in trouble by his wife, wrongfully, Potiphar's wife, and then he goes into prison. He's in prison for a while, and all during that he kept walking with God, and God blessed his life. And then one night Pharaoh had a dream, and it was a weird dream, as couldn't figure it out. And then they said, hey, this guy Joseph, he knows how to interpret dreams. And so he interpreted the dream and said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, unbelievable amount of plenty in your crops. And then right after that, 7 years of famine that's going to eat up everything that came from the first 7 years. And so the Pharaoh made Joseph second in command of all Egypt, put him in charge. And he was 30 years old, in charge of everything. And so, in light of that, it was into the second year of the famine, Jacob and his sons were getting a little hungry. Because the famine was throughout the whole world. And that's where we pick it up. Verse 1, it says, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, And Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. They had different, Jacob had different wives, and with different wives they had different kids. And with his last wife he had Joseph and then Benjamin. So those two were linked in that way. And he already lost Joseph, he doesn't want to lose Benjamin. Verse 5, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, and for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. So this revelation is starting to come to pass, and they have no clue at this point. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come you? And they said, well, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, you are spies, to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said unto him, oh no, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, no, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not, referring to Joseph. He's gone. And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together into a ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do, and live, for I fear God. If you be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the families of your house, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning, this is them talking to each other, we're kind of guilty concerning our brother here, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Imagine the anguish in Joseph's soul. You know, they put him in the pit, and then they said, we can make money, and then sold him. And he's in that caravan, and he's seeing them, and he's calling out, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, please don't. And they had zero ear for his pleas. And it says the anguish of his soul. Can you just the how that must have felt in his heart, and goes to a foreign land and by himself, the only Hebrew there. You know, the loneliness that got to be in that scenario, and then being sold by your brethren. Just a hard time for his life. But God did turn it around. You know, he did get that rabbit out of that. Therefore is this distress come upon us. You know, the brothers are saying, this is payback for what we did to Joseph. Verse 22, and Reuben answered them and saying, there's always one brother who'll say this, didn't I speak and say again, you know, speak not unto you, saying, do not sin against this child, you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. You know, I told you so, you guys didn't listen. I don't know how true that was, but he's saying it. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Can you imagine Joseph? You know, he sees his brothers come in, and it's like, holy shit. And this didn't reveal himself, and just said, you know, through an interpreter, you know, this and that, and you guys are spies. But the joy and the longing for his brothers, even though they told him for money, he still loved them, and he yearned for them. So he wept. Verse 25, and Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus he did unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. So he's going to pay off the innkeeper for, I guess, the use of the place, and all their money's in the bags. Verse 28, and he said unto his brethren, hey, my money's restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one another, what is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 sons, we be. That's where they get that. We be, it's a biblical way of speaking. We be 12 brethren, sons of our fathers. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that you are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone, and bring your youngest, bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that you are no spies, but ye that are true, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in their sack, his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take a Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring not thee to deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. And the famine was sore in the land. So he wasn't interested in doing that deal. Famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said, you know, maybe we got to change our plan here. Their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, you shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt you so ill with me, as to tell the man whether you had yet a brother? What the heck do you even say you had a little brother for? And they said, well, the man asked us straightly of our state and of the kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye now another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? We didn't think he'd do something like that. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him of my hand, shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned a second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land and the vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices of myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was overnight. I mean an oversight. We don't want to take any chances. Don't want to piss them off. Take also your brother and rise, go again unto the man. That must have been very hard for Jacob to do. But you know, when you get hungry enough, and it's not like you can go to a different food store. This store doesn't have it. Now I can go to another one. Like, it's a different scenario. You get hungry enough, you start doing stuff that you really wouldn't have done otherwise. And so he's willing now to give his other young son, the youngest of them all, to go and see what happens. Verse 13 again, and take also your brother, arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the men did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, because of the money that was returned into our sacks at the first time, or we brought into that inn, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take for us bondmen and our asses. You know, they're thinking it through. Because he's going to think, he's all upset because he thinks we took the money, but we brought it back. You know, they have no clue it's Joseph. verse 10. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, sir, we came down indeed at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in his mouth of the sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again to our hand. You know, we didn't take it. We found it, and we're bringing it back. You know, are we in trouble? We got to get out of this trouble here. Verse 22, and the other money we have brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And the men brought the men. The man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water and washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. You kind of think in terms of these 10 guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what is all this going on? What? I mean, really, we didn't take the money. Here is the money back. And then they're not being dismissed. But they still don't know what's going on. And they made ready, verse 25 again, the present against Joseph, came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. So again, they're bowing down to their brother. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he alive? Is he out alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance.
Obeisance.
There you go. Thank you. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph bade haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And that's the type of yearning that, as a bare minimum, that we should have towards God Almighty. That it's just this thing you can't really put in words, but it's just such a strong desire to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here's a wonderful illustration of that yearning. And what a illustration, and what a great deliverance of things that, you know, all these people involved were part of God's plan, and through part of it they didn't understand what was happening. But what a heart Joseph had for those men and his brother. Really something. So when we read verse 30 before, it was just words, so to speak. And when you see the background of it, it comes a lot more alive. That's just really wonderful. So he enters into his chamber and wept there, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread, or serve the bread. And they set the bread for him by himself, and for them, they themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for it is an abomination for the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled at one another. And he took and sent messengers unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times as much as the others, and they drank and were merry with him. A little wine was good for their heart. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And he put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, and they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore hath ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? And you have done evil in doing so. And he took them and spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore, my Lord, these words, God forbid that these servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks, mouths, we brought again into the land of Canaan. And how then shall we steal out of the Lord's house silver and gold? You know, we brought back the money that we don't even know how we got it. Why would you think we'd steal the silver and gold? With whomsoever of thy servants is found, both let him die, and also we be of my Lord's bondmen. You know, if you find it, that guy will die, and we'll be his servants. How's that for a deal? And he said unto, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. Now they know they're in trouble. They were supposed to bring Benjamin back. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that you have done? Know ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of our servants, of thy servants. Behold, we are my lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. We're going to be your servants now. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, you know, he gets really close to Joseph, and this is what he said. Oh, my lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said unto my lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And he saith unto the servant, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto the servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, you shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when it came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my lord. You know, he's talking to Joseph. Joseph knows everything what's going on. He orchestrated it. But Judah doesn't know this. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, they will go down. For we will not see the man's face, except the youngest brother it be brought with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare two sons, and the one went from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in his lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not there with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow, excuse me, to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto thy my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father? Come on, my father. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, and caused every man to go out from me. So he told the servants, you know, all you guys get out. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of the Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto the brethren, I am Joseph. And you imagine that, being one of those 11. And it's like, how can this be? And he wept, and he said, I am Joseph. Thus doth my father yet live. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and they said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold unto Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me thither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me thither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his houses, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste thee and go up to thy father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the hand of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy households and all that has come to poverty. Behold, your eyes see, and the ears of thy brethren Benjamin, that is in my mouth, that speaketh unto you. Ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them after his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye. Lead your beasts and go, get you into the land of Canaan. Take your father and your household and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. And regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. So don't be concerned about bringing all your stuff. Just come on over. We'll give you the best of the land. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man a change of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, can you imagine those guys just like, holy smokes. And no bitterness in Joseph's heart, you know, somewhere along the line through that time in prison or whatever. God showed him, you know, this is for a bigger purpose. Yeah, your brothers were skunks, but they're still your brothers. And, you know, he got past the bitterness and all that stuff. And God, he saw the big picture. God said, you know, I'll keep everybody alive. And those brothers must have been floored seeing Joseph. It's like, I mean, it's just incredible to see it. So verse 24, and he sent his brethren away, and he departed, and he said unto them, See that you fall not out of the way. You know, make sure you get there. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, and he believed them not. It's like, don't mess with me. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And it goes on. But look at the yearning. You know, Joseph yearned for his brother. And when it says that we're to yearn for God, what a, you know, that's the bare minimum. You know, that we just yearn for God. Like it talks about in Romans 8, you know, the world travaileth and groaneth, waiting for the return of Christ. And, you know, there are days, I'm sure it happens to you, inside of me, I just ache, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And it's just a, you know, we aren't to live like robots on earth. We're humans, and we do need to eat, and we need each other, and we need God. So, it's just a wonderful thing to not have gotten talked out of through the years of a love for God. You know, our fellowship's probably had a couple thousand people roll through it. You know, some just visiting or whatever, but you know, I've seen a lot of people hear the word, get excited, and then other things took root, and I've seen a lot of great. But we're to just yearn and love God. So, we have a great life.